I want to share something with you today from the Bible that when I was studying it the last 2 weeks, it transformed my heart and my thinking. And I believe that it's going to change the future and the destiny of our church. And I know it's going to change the way you see Scripture. I know it's going to change the way you see the kingdom of God. And then after we get into this, I have a declaration for our church for 2021. To set all that up, I want to read to you a Bible verse that you already know. It's a Bible verse we've all heard before, we've all heard preached before, and it's one of those inspirational verses that's probably a meme or hanging on your wall. It's Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, God has a plan to prosper us. He has a hope for us. He has a future for us. Why? Do we deserve it? No. It's because you matter to God. You're important to God. He loves you. He's crazy about you. We know from John 3:16 that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but receive the gift of eternal life. So your soul is extremely valuable to God. So valuable, he allowed his only son to be sacrificed to pay for your soul. Every time there's something that's super valuable, a thief is always going to want to try to break in and steal it, destroy it. There's a constant war for your entire life, for your soul. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor and a theologian in the 1800s, said, "Consider how precious a soul must be that both God and the devil are after it." So there is a problem that I want to point out from Jeremiah 29:11. God is not speaking about prospering us and giving us a hope and a future individually. Yes, like all scripture, we can take it personally, we can take it individually, we can apply that scripture of hope and peace for ourselves, but there's more. There's much more going on than just this one simple promise for ourselves. See, God is speaking to the entire nation of Israel that we're living in exile. How do we know that? Because that's Jeremiah 29:11. Go back to Jeremiah 29:1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to whom? The surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests and prophets, and listen, to all of the other people that Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So Jeremiah 29:11 was not written to a single student graduating high school from the Jerusalem High School class of 627 BC. Listen, young fella, God has a plan for your life, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. No, this was written to the elders, the priests, and all of God's people that were living in captivity in a pagan land. It was written to all of God's people that were facing some of the darkest days of their life. And in those dark moments, God says, I have a plan to prosper you. I have a plan to give you hope. I have a plan. So don't trust the situation that you're currently in, and don't allow that situation to define you. Don't allow where you are identify who you are. Let me say that again. Don't allow where you are and what situation you are facing to define who you are. Because even if you're living in a nation that does not line up with your godly beliefs, you're not defined by what the world believes around you. You are defined by the God who loves you and who has a plan to protect and to prosper you wherever you live and in whatever situations you face. So if you are currently living in a difficult situation, a difficult season, you're facing a difficult object, that doesn't define who you are. Now that might be what's happening around you, but it doesn't define who you are as the people of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, you can apply Jeremiah 29:11 to your life personally. You can graduate high school. High school, how did you do it? You can graduate high school and God has a plan and a hope and a future for you. But he was not speaking to high school students. He was speaking to a nation of people in the darkest days of their life. And he said, I have hope for you. That was the context of this, that there is hope and a future for prosperity for all of God's people. So God is reminding the nation of Israel that the bad stuff today will not define tomorrow. That what we went through in 2020 does not change who God has called Uncommon Church to be in 2021. In fact, your past does not define you, it prepares you. Your past does not define you, it prepares you. God is saying, don't be identified by the past or even the present circumstances, because the people of Israel were still in the middle of their trial. And God is saying, find your corporate identity in me. He was saying, all y'all your hope is in me. All y'all, I got your future. All y'all, I'm gonna bless and I'm gonna prosper. So have hope and look to the future through my plan that I have prepared for every one of you. So yeah, we love verse 11 so much. But what we learned in verse 1 is that he wasn't speaking to us personally. He was speaking to the people of God corporately. But have you ever noticed verse 5? And I'll be honest, I hadn't until I went back and looked at it this week. He said, in the middle of all this mess in Babylon, build homes, plan to stay, plant a garden, eat the food. God's saying, you're going to be here a while. Long enough to buy a house, to buy some land, build a house, move in, till up the ground by hand, plant crops, wait a few months, harvest, and then eat it. It's going to take a minute. But then keep reading. Verse 6, marry, have children, and then find spouses for them so that you can have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. Be productive in this terrible season. Grow. Build a legacy for the future. You're going to be here for a while. Verse 7, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you in exile. Lord, we're in Babylon. We're not in Jerusalem. Yeah. Work towards the blessing of Babylon. Pray for its welfare because it will determine your welfare. See, God told his people, you're going to be in this mess for a while. So instead of complaining about it, you might as well make yourself comfortable. You have been planted on a dung pile. You might as well bloom where you've been planted because I've given you plenty of fertilizer. So too often, when we face difficult situations, we get destination disease. Well, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy if this or that happens. I'll be happy if I get that job. I'll be happy if we can get that house. I'll be happy if I can get a new car. I'll be happy if I can get to finish school or pay off my student loans. I'll be happy if I can get to be married, or we can have kids. I'll be happy when COVID is over. But what he's saying is celebrate and praise God in whatever season you're currently in. If life gives you lemons, God has a recipe for lemonade. So build a home, plant a garden, have kids, have grandchildren. Even in the land of affliction, I'm going to prosper you. That takes faith. I'm telling you, that takes faith to prosper and to do well in a difficult situation. And to have, build a house, to have kids, to wait around for grandkids. And God says, yeah, I have a plan to bless your grandchildren. That's what faith does. It grabs a hold of God with trust, and it says, I believe that my God is real, and I believe that he is in control, and I have faith that God is going to work through my life regardless of what I go through. Remember verse 6, have children, find spouses, have grandchildren, multiply. That takes faith to believe that what you're building today might not always be for you. It's for the next generation. You're leaving a legacy. That what we're doing today in 2021 at Uncommon Church, we're building something that's great for us, but it's really for our children and our grandchildren one day. That we're a part of something that's bigger than, and we're not just going to dwindle away. We're going to grow. We're going to put roots down. We're going to do the very best we can. And this is the very point. Yes, Jeremiah 29:11 can be taken personally, but the context is corporate, not personal. It's for all of God's people. And God said, I have a plan for all y'all to prosper. But then notice what he said in verse 7. I'll read it again. Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it because its welfare will determine your welfare. Don't give up on your city. Don't give up on your nation. Don't give up on your job. Don't give up on your school district. Pray for it. Your destiny is connected to this nation. Your destiny is connected to your company, to your job. If they're blessed, you're blessed. So pray for it. Pray for God's blessing, for his protection, for wisdom, because your prosperity in the future is connected to it today. And remember, not just personally, we all need to pray for our city. We all need to pray for our nation. These verses were not written to an individual. They were written to the people of God. Can I just say this? Look at Genesis to Revelation. The entire 66 books were not written to a single person. It was written to the people of God. It was written to a nation. Look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's stories about a couple of thousand Jewish people. How many of them had the Holy Scriptures in their homes? Think about it. If they wanted to hear the word of God, they had to go to the synagogue on Saturday, because that's where the scrolls were kept. To hear the word of God, they had to gather as the people of God. Fast forward. About 500 years ago, the Gutenberg Press began to produce the Gutenberg Bible. It was the first mass-produced Bible, but they could only make a few of them, and it was very, very expensive. Only the rich had a Bible in their home, and most only had it for show, as a demonstration of how wealthy they were and that they were educated enough to read it. Most people in the world 500 years ago couldn't read and write. The Bible being in every Christian home is a new thing. It's about 100 to 150 years old. The Bible, on your phone, to have 100 translations of the Bible, that's about 10 minutes old. For 6,000 years of recorded history, God's plan is that we would gather together as a community to study the scriptures. So until very recently, all of God's people would gather to hear the word of God, and they would hear it with the perspective of we, not me. To take a scripture and become almost selfish with it, that's become like an American thing. We have a very self-centered culture. We love our privacy. We don't know our neighbor's names. In our culture, generally speaking, we look out for numero uno. But God designed his people to be a family, to be a community, to be a body that's interconnected and that needs one another. We like it the way Frank Sinatra and Burger King. We like it my way. But God designed us to be a part of a community that seeks him, connected to one another, needing one another. And that when we hear the scriptures, we're not hearing it for me, we're hearing it for we. It wasn't a me first mentality until about 10 minutes ago. For thousands and thousands of years, God's people always pursued the Lord corporately, listened to the scriptures corporately. How can this scripture strengthen all of us? How can this verse be an example to all of us? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Another verse that everybody knows, whether you have children or you don't. Proverbs 22:6. Everybody knows this. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So as a parent, Josie and I have applied this verse to our three children. We raise up our kids to know the Lord. But that's because I'm looking at the Bible through the eyes of me, not we. What if we were to consider hearing that scripture for the first time in a corporate setting? Train up our children in the ways of the Lord, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. We are all responsible to raise up the next generation of believers, whether you have kids or not. So too many times, a kid comes up through the kids ministry, the youth ministry, they go off to college or go in the military or go get a job, and then they walk away from their faith in God. That's on all of us. We are all responsible to make sure that there is another generation of believers coming up behind us and that they know the power and presence of God. So when you read the Bible, yes, you can apply it to your life, but, and this is a big but, read and listen and study the scriptures for we, not just me. How can this verse be helping our church? How can our church reach the community better? And here's another problem. We'll break down the Hebrew or the Greek and the meaning and the definition and all that, and that's great. But we're not just called to look for the meaning of Scripture. We're called to look for the application of Scripture. How does this Scripture apply to me? How does this Scripture apply to us? See, here's the reason why. You weren't called out of your slavery to sin by yourself. You might think that you prayed that prayer and you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you came to faith, but really, you joined a family. You were not set free from your pain or your addiction or your anxiety or your depression or your poverty just to live alone. You were called into the family of God. You're not alone. And the worst thing about last year was all the social distancing. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I understand we need to be physically distant from time to time if we have weakened immune systems, but we should never be socially distant. And I'm so glad for those that are able that came out and joined us here on campus this morning. I think that on-campus interpersonal community worship and community study of Scripture is so extremely it's vital. It's essential to the health and growth of a church. Now, please don't, obviously, there are people that from time to time you have to quarantine. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying when you are able, meeting together is vital. Be in church every time the doors are open. And stop skipping worship and coming late. Well, I'm not really into the singing part. God's into the singing part. Ephesians chapter 5. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Now you might go, yeah, that sounds like getting my personal praise on, get my Spotify playlist. No, Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, all the Ephesians. And he said, address one another in songs. All y'all make a melody in all y'all's hearts. Verse 20, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, tied together with our worship, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Church family, your maturing process in Christ cannot and will not only happen in isolation. We grow deep roots of faith, how? When we are interconnected to one another as a church family. And verse 21 says, we submit to one another. The Christian life is not about me, it's about we. And think about when a family faces crisis, when there's a death in the family, everybody comes together. We comfort each other, we encourage each other, we mourn together. Because when we face difficult seasons, it's better to do it among your people, to do it in unity, to do it in the family of God. And that's how we encourage one another. Think about the movie Gladiator, when they all ragtag gladiators were put together, they came back to back, and Russell Crowe said, whatever comes out of these gates, we will defeat if we fight together. So whatever 2021 throws at us, we as a church will walk in uncommon victory because we are an uncommon church. We overcome together. I'm not facing this alone. I have my church family to face it together. I got laid off, but I'm not alone. Oh, we're having marital trouble, but I'm not alone. We're having health problems, but I'm not alone. I've got my church family. We're together. Togetherness is a sign of health. Isolation is the first symbol or sign of mental illness. If somebody suddenly starts distancing themselves from family and friends that love them, something's going wrong in their mind or their heart. Think about the prison system. What is the worst punishment a prisoner can go through? Lock them up in isolation. It's so important that we are not isolated from one another, but that we are together in U groups, together serving on dream teams, together in Sunday morning worship as often as we physically can. In fact, today, you're gonna receive the handout after service listing all of the U groups. U groups start in 2 weeks. And we just, it went online today. You can go to uncommonchurch.tv/groups, look over all the groups and sign up for a group today. You need to be connected to a group. Now today was supposed to be Growth Track 1. All of you new people, I see a lot of new faces. Man, welcome home. You have found your new home church. We are so glad you're here. We have a 3-week class that takes you from outsider to insider. And normally we do it after second service. But because of the huge blizzard we're going to get this afternoon, we're going to push Growth Track 1 to next Sunday. So next Sunday, come to the 11 a.m. service, and after second service, I want you to go through Growth Track 1 and start to join our church. Look at the example of Jesus. When the disciples said, hey, Rabbi, can you teach us how to pray? Here was his model for prayer. Okay, you guys want to learn how to pray? Pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Wait, what? Why would he start the very model prayer as our what? Father. If I'm the son of the Most High God and I'm a little bit self-centered and Americanized, I'm gonna pray, my Father, tough luck for y'all. But he taught us to pray in the context of a family. Our Father who is in heaven. So let me give you a quick recap. We seek the Lord as a family, corporately, when we face trials, when we worship, when we pray, and number 4, when we give. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. See, when we're selfish with our money, our world is very small. We put all of our money in our belly button, and we just belly button gaze at our money. Check our bank account every day. But when we realize that we're a part of a bigger kingdom and that everything that we invest is winning souls and reaching the lost and showing compassion for people and making disciples here and around the world. We're sowing seeds and then we're all gonna reap a harvest. When one is blessed, we're all blessed. So when one person gets born again or screws in a Jesus light bulb, we all celebrate because we're all invested in the same thing. So you gotta ask yourself, where do you fit in the big picture of the body of Christ? Because you are a valuable part. You have unique giftings. You have unique talents that you bring to this table. We need you and you need us. We're not perfect because we're made up of imperfect people. We make mistakes, but then we have love and grace and honor and forgiveness when we make those mistakes. We're in this thing together. Let me go back to our original text as I land this plane. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper all y'all, not to harm you. These plans are to give every one of you a hope and a future. I remind you, your past does not define you. It prepares you. Your current circumstances do not define you. God has a plan for all of us, to prosper all of us, to give all of us a hope, to give all of us a future. And here's my declaration. At Uncommon Church, 2020 is the year of we. It is we time, not me time. God has big plans for us, and God will prosper all of Uncommon Church. And the church family will be a people of uncommon hope, uncommon love, uncommon serving, uncommon grace, uncommon forgiveness, uncommon compassion, uncommon community. This is our year, and it's for all of us. The future is for 2021, it's looking pretty good. I know that as a nation, we're off to a rough start, but as a church, our future is bright. Hop up on your feet. I want to pray for you. When you face trial, when you face sickness, we have had far too many loved ones die this last year. It's unprecedented, the number of loved ones, family members, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters that have died this year. When one of us mourns, we all mourn. Because we are interconnected. Here's the problem. If we only get our news from the outside world, we're gonna live in fear. Anxiety will build because we think that the devil's in control. We think that COVID is in control. We think that the political system is in control. We think that the economy is in control. That's why we need one another. And what did verse 7 say? We need to submit to one another. What that means is we encourage one another. We lift each other's chins and we say, we gotta look at what the Lord is saying, not what the world is saying. Our faith is in him and I'm not freaking out and God's not freaking out. But as we go through these battles, we feel like we're getting punched in the mouth and we feel like our heart is bruised. Do you know what happens when you kick your shin on the bedpost in the middle of the night and you get a big bruise? Blood begins to flow to that area. God is an amazing creator, and he made our bodies that white blood cells would rush to a wounded area because it's the blood that brings the healing. The same is true with our hearts. When our hearts are broken, we had a marriage that didn't work out the way we thought, we had a job that didn't work out the way we thought, we had a relationship with a friend that didn't work out, we had a political system, an economic system, we had a whatever that bruised our hearts. Allow the blood of Jesus to bring healing, to rush in and bring healing. You've had an addiction to pornography, an addiction to alcohol. Can I remind you that drinking is not a sin for a Christian, but getting drunk is? Just want to remind you of that from time to time or every week. Because that's how the world is medicating themselves. We put on praise and worship and we seek the presence of God, but the world doesn't know God. So it's just easy to get a buzz on and that'll make everything seem okay. Well, just seek the Lord and focus your eyes on what the Word says and what the Lord says and on his peace and on his presence and on his hope. You don't need to self-medicate. God is our peace. So I double dog dare you. If there's sin in your life, Repent of your sin. Turn your back on your sin so that you can start living for Jesus. If there's pain in your heart, allow the blood of Jesus to bring healing, to let it flow into your life and bring healing. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And if anyone would open that door, I will come in. Some of you right now that are here in this room or you're watching online, your heart is pounding out of your chest. That's God. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's saying, come on, man, open the door of your heart. Let me not cover your sin. Let me remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. We've been orphans. We feel alone and isolated in this world. He's saying, come on, let me make you a child of the Most High God and that you be adopted into the family of God. We've been sinners struggling with sin, but he's saying, I've called you to be saints. I've called you to be holy. That's who God's created you to be. If that's you this morning, you've got to get right with God. I want to pray for you. If you're watching at home online and you're like, man, my heart is beating out of my chest. Today's my day. Yeah, today is your day of salvation. Today is the day that God gives you the gift of eternal life. So I want to pray for you. I mean, it's your faith. You have to pray it, but I can lead you in that prayer. How about that? If you're here this morning or you're watching online, I would like to know who I'm praying for. This might be the first time you've ever prayed a prayer like this. Or maybe you knew the Lord years ago and your heart has grown cold and you've walked away from God and you've been isolated and you've allowed fear back into your life or some sort of addiction or pain and it's hurt you and you feel totally distant from God. So this might be the first time or the first time in a long time you've prayed this prayer. But today is your day of salvation. Even if you're sitting at home and you're watching just online, I can't see you, but God can. What I'd like to know is who I'm praying for. If that's you this morning and you want to pray first time in a long time, would you shoot your hand up real high and just say, preacher, today's my day. Pray for me. Today's my day. I want to pray that prayer. I want to get right with God. Is there anybody here this morning? Oh, I see one hand over there. Is there anybody else? What about you at home? Come on, raise your hand up right before God. All right, for the sake of the one and for those that are, I feel like there's more. I feel like somebody was like super chicken. And like you're sweating down the back of your neck and you're like, come on, man, I really want to pray that prayer, but you didn't make people close their eyes. No, Jesus hung on a cross naked before all of Jerusalem. You can raise your hand and say, I need to get right with God today, if that's you. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? All right. If you believe it in your heart, pray this out loud. Say, dear Jesus, I repent of all of my sin. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me. You died in my place. So I receive the gift of eternal life. And I declare that you will be the Lord of my life. And I thank you for adopting me into the family of God. That we is more important than me. So I thank you, Lord, for our church, this body of believers. And I pray, Father, that you would grow our church with more people to come to faith, to leave their sin, that our church family would grow in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, for the sake of the one and you watching online, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Golly. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. So I'd like our prayer team to come forward. If you are here this morning and there's pain in your body, we want to pray that the blood of Jesus washes away that pain. If you're here this morning and there's pain in your heart or your mind or a relationship situation, I want you to come. And when we worship, I want you to come and pray with one of our prayer team workers. If you gave your heart to Jesus today for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to come and to pray. We want to screw in a light bulb. All of those are light bulbs of people that have given their heart to Jesus in the last year. We want you to write your name on a Sharpie and screw that light bulb in and make a public declaration. If you're watching online, I want you to text the word, the name, Jesus, to 817-405-2244. You're going to get an auto response back. It's a form, a short form. Fill that form out, submit it, because I want one of our pastors to begin to pray for you and encourage you and going to write your name on a light bulb and screw it into the Jesus wall today or tomorrow. Just trying to be honest. So if you need prayer for any reason, I want you to come down to these altars and pray. I want you to ask the Lord to say, what purpose do I... Come on, dude, go screw in that light bulb. God. Hallelujah. Yay, God. Yay, God. Let's worship. Come on, let's worship.